And it is 9 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 12 noon in the East Coast. And it's 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is December 9th, 2015. And this is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to celebrate Hanukkah, the fourth candle tonight. And we're going to send all our best wishes all over the globe to a season of light, joy, and happiness. And may this season of celebration will start well and will start a new day for all the world to come together and be the light upon nations. I think that there is a momentum here, and I know that there is a momentum on the Hill in Washington, D.C. I know it's Wednesday, and we have our Italian music. But our eyes are, wide open to see how we're going to overcome it. And many people spoke today about the chances that the U.S. come and make it happen. They just need to go and finish the job. That's what was been said, and I believe so. But I believe also that the people that wanted to join the forces of darkness will change their mind and hearts and will come become a part of life and light within their life. Because people who contemplate suicide in massive aggressive mode, sending the universe a message and sending all humanity a message that we have to be concerned of. It's not easy to see people's lives being shattered in a way that is inexplicable. You can't understand why people are doing what they are doing. And we have to be vigilant, protective, and understand that they're not zombies. They're people who are calling up for some reason. People who have lost all trace of livelihood, and they are willing to explode themselves to kill, to get killed, in order for them to achieve others' devastation too. It's like a small revenge of some kind and sort. And for some reason, humanity had this misfortune to grow a generation that creates such characters. We might say that in the all myths of the universe, there are more good people than bad, that's for sure. We are more half and 50-50, that's for sure. So I think that we have a little, but the time that we all sing Kumbaya is still yet to come. So we need to start working hard to see, to seek an answer, to pray for help and guidance, and grace of God, of course. Anyway, it's Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. I've been talking to you for over a year or something and a half, and for some reason they decided to syndicate my show. So good luck to all whoever, listening to me for the first time. I welcome you to my honest truth, to God truth show, and we really happy to join all the forces in the world to be a part of the light and for good, for happiness. We have a great team on BBS Radio. And, this radio is really doing the best that they can with a mass of people that speak their mind and work for the world. And they all do it from the heart and real hardcore work. So God bless them all, and I hope that you guys will listen through and become our best friends ever. All right, so let's start with something so we get this program going. All right.
Shalom to Israel Ambassador to the UN, Danny Danon.
Shalom, Yoni.
So first of all, we understand that you had a very nice success now with an Israeli resolution.
It is indeed a special day here in the UN because Israel was able to pass a resolution regarding agriculture technology. It is very important for us that we pass that resolution. It was not easy. We saw the Arab countries, the Palestinian delegation fighting against that resolution, but we prevailed, we passed that resolution, and it showed that we can sometimes even win in the UN. Usually we hear a lot of bashing against Israel, but today it was a very successful day for our mission here in the UN.
Mr. Danone, how do you relate to the claims according to which the United Nations itself is anti-Semite?
Today, to say that you are anti-Semite, it is not politically correct. So people here are anti-Israel. And unfortunately, we see that many, many states attack Israel in every committee, on every issue. But we are strong. We're standing firm and tall here in front of them. We're telling the truth to the nations. And sometimes, even when we lose, we know that they are hearing the truth and they know that Israel is the strongest democracy in the Middle East. And when I talk with my colleagues from the Western democracies, they praise Israel for standing for the right issues here in the UN.
And we understand that these days you are actually targeting a part of the United Nations, UNRWA.
Unfortunately, we have seen that some UN organizations promote violence, promote incitement. We have seen incidents of UNRWA workers that are teaching hatred. We are dealing with this issue, and I've spoken on this issue with many officials here in the UN because we want to stop the phenomena of incitement in schools. We saw what it leads to acts of terror in the streets of Israel.
Danny Danone, thank you very much.
Thank you, Yoni.
Well, that was incredible. It's a resolution, a UN resolution for agriculture technology. Let's see what they actually voted on. The United Nations has adopted an Israeli resolution to utilize agriculture technology for sustainable development. Their resolution was passed on Friday in the UN Second Committee, which deals with economic, financial, and development issue. 124 countries voted in favor of Israel's proposal, and 37 abstained. Guys, hallelujah, this is a big deal. For 124 countries to vote for Israel resolution, wow, this is the end of the days. I'm telling you guys, maybe there is some, and the other, they didn't vote against, they abstained. But the truth of the matter, actually Israel is starting to do her purpose in the world, because Israeli resolution promotes making agriculture technology more accessible in areas stricken by poverty, drought, and hunger. You understand that this will solve and help, hopefully, stricken in poverty, drought, and hungry areas. Guys, this is helping the world, and this is the world coming together and doing something good for the poor, and it's good, guys. This is a good news. I can't tell you more how happy I am to talk about it, because if you just consider how many times, well, every time, they voted against Israel, and all of a sudden we're all together. Danny Danone is a great ambassador to United Nations. He's Israeli. He's actually an inspired leader. He was in the Likud party and was the head of the center of the Likud, which the center is 3,500 people. So he had actually a very powerful position in Israel. He was sent away, so he cannot shake the boat in the Likud party. So you get a real good guy there, and he's awesome. He's young, so his way, you never know how he's going to evolve. So watch for this man. And more on top of this, watch the fact that if he can handle 127 countries voted for Israel, with Israel, it means that he might consider making some great deals there. Something will move. Maybe the world will come to unite to work together against the poverty and against hunger. Maybe the world is going to help, heal those children, make sure they have education. This is the platform that works. If there is some movement in this direction, guys, listen, I've been talking about United Nations day in and day out, and I know how wrong they treated Israel, really. But every time I see some, you know, a little light coming out of this incredible body that did more, I don't know, just a, you know, more cost. He added only cost to the world and nothing that I can call that I like and respect, except the creation of the state of Israel, obviously. But think about it. Maybe we can start working together to get the economy working. Because this is an economical body after, if you look at this in the right direction. And technology is the future of the world. And the fact that you cannot, you don't need to use the, you know, the watering system that people that have a lot of water can. But nowhere in the world now we have so much, you know, water. We all use this drop method for watering the plants. So if anybody wants to check what agriculture in Israel looks like, please check it out online because it's important. You guys have to understand that there are many companies in the world that works in Africa to give the world the new resources of food, and they are gonna and they're developing it, and they're gonna think ahead of time and do more work with Israeli companies. And there is great deals of people who come here to Israel to learn about the method and how they grow plants faster. Of course, you cannot skip you know, the multiplication of you know, some kind of problem sometimes. But overall, it's been a very successful program. I heard that in Spain, they used to be interested, and they grow a lot of tomato there now. I'm thinking that it will be with the help of Israeli method. And sure enough, they are producing tomato for most, you know, for a very big chunk of Europe. So let's go back and have some music just to give us a break and change the subject. All right? Wow, that was Pavarotti with Bryan Adams. Bryan Adams tried to sing opera, well, singing opera. It's cute. Anyway, let's go back to what's going on with the controversy about Donald Trump's remarks about banning Muslims from entering the U.S. I don't know if he meant the people, the Muslim that enter from the, you know, to the USA, or the one that wants to come and hide in it. Because when you come from a stricken, war-stricken area and you want asylum, you might have to go through investigative method. And of course, I don't know how long it takes. Anyhow, it's not like they're banning from entering. They're actually suspending how fast they're going to enter. They're going to take their time. And I heard that Ted Cruz said today that he wants to have 3 years process. I don't know what does it mean, because if you have a 3-year process for a refugee, where should they go? But the idea is that they're all trying to get to get their thought together. And they talking in the marketplace, let's say, in the news everywhere. And they're talking and they're saying, oh, you know, if those people are beating us, we're not going to let them in. But the fact of the matter, you can have people that are radicalized that are from a different, well, of course, they say that they're all Muslim, but I understand that the problem. But only extremely, extreme methods of search and looking into everybody. That's it. When you are in time of intention time, you need to control everybody. Nobody has a free pass, as far as I'm concerned, and to say that only those people will be and the other ones, you know, people, you know, marry into religion every time. So, not that I like it, just saying it doesn't mean that one can be aggressive or not. You just need to be careful. And by all means, let's not freak about everything. We cannot stop living because they, you know, terrorized some people, of course. But if you look in the ratio of the impact that they have a null. It's and compared to the population of the globe, they had a lot of exposure. Yes, they had they become famous because we stupidly repeated their act. I made a point not to repeat an offense or share it or give it any liking or anything. I'm not giving them any space on my frame. I don't, you know, they don't exist as far as I'm concerned. They're bad people that makes other people suffer, and they got a lot of people killed. I want to remember the victims and protect everybody else. But we are not supposed to spread it over the media. Every time we spread it, we just get other people thinking about it and talk about it, and they stop being alive. They are under threat. Now, it's not like you are not going to be supposed to be vigilant. But today, you know, you got the mayor of Jerusalem near Barakat, a very young man who been in action since it started, and since he works as a mayor. And he knows, he called everybody, you know, just be protective, be careful. All right, let's get some more music.
Se bella Roma, quando è sera, quando la luna si specchia dentro il fontanone.
Wow, quanto sei bella Roma! How beautiful you are, Rome, Italy, of course. And he was that was Antonello Venditti. He was he is one of the greatest Italian singer of all time, and it's a classic. Roma is a city, and you know, it's funny that in Hanukkah I'm giving you Rome, because the empire, the Roman Empire, were instrumental in destroying, making this holiday happen. So funny. Anyway, I want to make all my best congratulations to the new head of the Secret Service of Israel, the Mossad, Mr. Joseph Yossi Cohen. You guys have a good-looking, wonderful action figure and incredible head on his shoulder, and he's a Cohen. A coin in the Jewish faith is the highest rank of religious affiliation, which means that this guy has incredible sense of understanding of the world and humanity, And I do hope that this way will be filled with working together in the world to help to conduct a better world. God bless you guys all, whoever does the hard work behind the scenes and nobody gives you a credit. God bless you all. I know the Americans working really hard and doing their best and helping the rest of the world. So with friends like America, Israel can be really good. Now that we have to conclude that the world is coming together at once, finally, to make a difference. We have an announcement of one of the great leader of this generation, Angela Merkel. Let's listen to what Angela Merkel's life looked like.
Angela Merkel is the Chancellor of Germany, Europe's largest economy. She is an unglamorous leader and often underrated, but has a sharp analytical mind. She's not one to back down from a good fight and can be surprisingly decisive. This is a brief history of Angela Merkel. 1954. Hamburg has been devastated by World War II. Angela Kasner is born. Germany is in the midst of the Cold War standoff between the Soviets and the West. Against the wave of migrants, Angela's pastor father moves the family to a small farming village in the communist East. 1957, the Kasner family moves again to Templin, East Germany, a market town of 20,000. Angela's father sets up a theological seminary. 1961, the Berlin Wall goes up. Kasner remembers her mother crying in church. 1973, Kasner graduates from high school. She moves to Leipzig to attend university. She studies physics, the only subject she'd failed in high school. 1977, Kasner marries fellow physics student Ulrich Merkel and takes his name. They move to Berlin. 1982, Angela divorces Ulrich. She keeps his name. 1986, Merkel completes her PhD in quantum chemistry. She meets Joachim Sauer, her second husband. 1989, the Berlin Wall falls. And so does East Germany's communist regime. Merkel is working at a physics lab. She joins a crowd pushing past guards into West Berlin. She becomes involved in East Germany's pro-democracy movement. 1990, Lothar de Maizière becomes East Germany's last prime minister. He chooses Merkel to be his deputy press secretary. She ends up joining the West German political party, the Christian Democratic Union. In the first election of a reunited Germany, she wins a seat in parliament. 1991, Merkel is appointed federal minister for women and youth under Chancellor Helmut Kohl, who wanted an Easterner and a woman on his cabinet. 1994, Merkel is promoted to minister for the environment and nuclear safety. 1998, the Kohl administration is defeated in election and rocked by scandal. Merkel surprises her own party and swoops in to become its secretary general and later the chairperson. 2005, in a special election, Merkel narrowly defeats Gerhard Schröder's Social Democratic Party, becoming Germany's first female chancellor. 2008, the financial crisis takes hold in the US and Europe. Merkel bails out Germany's banks. She also commits to fiscal austerity to deal with growing debt. 2009, Merkel wins a second term. 2010, Germany's economy recovers faster than that of any other country in Europe. Merkel helps craft a bailout for Greece, holding the Eurozone together. 2013, thanks largely to a stable German labor market, Merkel wins a third term in a landslide victory. 2014, crisis breaks out in Ukraine. Merkel is forced to confront Vladimir Putin over Russia's actions. 2015, against the wishes of her party, Merkel accepts growing numbers of refugees from the Middle East. Germany, Germany. She urges the rest of the EU to follow suit. Merkel has kept her style of leadership modest and plain spoken, but she has edged Germany into a more assertive role during her 10 years as chancellor.
All right, Angela Merkel. Angela Merkel, the Times Woman Leader of the Year, 2015. Congratulations, Mrs. Merkel. We love that woman. She's a great force in Europe. She brings the house to order, I think. So we want to see more women in position. And listen, after we have a queen like we have in England, which Queen Elizabeth is one of the most amazing people in the world, but for a generation after generation. Guys, we have a lady that gave us a big example of our grace, glory of God, and the blessing and the wisdom of a great woman, and the hard work that she gave the world. She was a leader through it all. And if she's old enough to say that, you know, she'd been and did everything and she was the queen in this universe, but she worked so hard, you know, being on duty all of your life and give it what it takes with all the extra training. Wow. Europe is fantastic for the incredible history it holds and the incredible leaders that it presents to the world. And yes, every time it goes and, you know, camouflage to nothing, but the history catch on and they become again great. And when they come together, like they did in France for the conference on the environment, all global leader, you just have a sense that something good is happening. I don't know. And, you know, and I'm glad that the Queen has, you know, she lives to see this beautiful thing, even though that it comes with a lot of pain, but a lot of love came out of it. That's what's good. And then you got Angela Merkel that opened her heart and she wanted to give everybody shelter. Guys, you know, women of this grandeur is that we're lucky in the world, in this universe. We have to thank God for sending us this incredible souls that leads the world in darkness with a light and steadiness and strength. God bless them. Anyway, we want to remind everybody all that women everywhere are not as free as they're supposed to. And we have to remind everybody that women are equal to all mankind. And it's ridiculous that I have to say it, but if in Saudi Arabia, they betray Sri Lanka maid sentenced to death by stoning for adultery, if they're even written a death by stoning, it's like the most cruel, incredible for committed what? People have to remember that we need to bring the light over to those parts. And if the rebel from the Saudis are coming to Syria, we need to come and ask them questions. We don't want to aggravate anybody's sensitive ears, but we must come to terms. If we point a finger, we need to remember that, you know, two points at us. So we have to all play in the same rules. And the time shifting, and women have the knowledge, the power, and the capacity today to make a difference. That's why the American troops are going to have more women in combat zone. And we have women that are doing their hard duty core work. So let's give women a chance also in the Arab world. They might, conform to their religion belief, but they can be they can have a life by working, by doing, accomplishing something that it's more than, you know, the kitchen. Son, there's nothing wrong with being a mom. Trust me, there are times that I'm praying to be just somebody without. But after you know, wisdom gives you a lot of worry. After you know so much, you cannot negate the fact that you want to be a part of life, you want to take responsibility, and you're going to help. All right? Anyway, let's listen to some more Italian music. It's Wednesday. We'll celebrate Italian every Wednesday, even though it's Hanukkah. So let's listen to that. All right, Grazie Roma. It's a very, very famous song about the team of soccer. of Italian football, soccer, which Roma is a good team to follow. They have they are yellow and red or burgundy. You're gonna love the signal. Anyway, talking about the world and the Middle East. In the midst, we remember, if you recall, the Russian plane that went down due to the Turks who shoot it down. Now the Russian, 2 days ago, asked the United Nations Council to talk on Turkey action in Syria and Iraq. Let's remind everybody that Turkey, before it started its maneuver, it went to the European Union and asked something very bad. They asked to block the Kurds up a little. Let's shake them up. I don't know what they did that, but he was trying to do it ever since he met with the European Union. So the Turks went there, and then in the midst of all, the Russian come up with some kind of recording of proof that actually they were trafficking of oil from Turks and the Russian, who probably were operating around that route, were disturbing it. And that's the story behind it, they say. Making the Turks shoot down that plane, and now the Russian wants a close session because there are 15 countries there, they can settle it, whatever it means. But what it means that they're going to come to terms what's happening on the ground. It means that the proof will be there, joined there, they'll be talking, and they'll decide if it was right or not. And God willing, they can come with some kind comprehensive understanding on what to do. All right. Let's talk about what Amnesty International said, that most ISIS weapons is from Iraqi army. Now, who gave the Iraqi army a weapon? I guess the American. Amnesty International says the decade of reckless arms trading and poorly regulated flow of weapons into Iraq have contributed to accumulation of a vast and varied arsenal of weaponry by the Islamic State, ISIS militant. In report issued on December 8, Amnesty International says that ISIS militants are using the weaponry to commit war crime on massive scale in Iraq. Oh my God, it's scary. The fact that you have that the Amnesty International is talking about a massive scale of crime. It means that we are witnessing that there are war crimes happening. We knew that ISIS. Yeah, you have to understand. There is difference in comprehensive urgency to take care of enemy if he's fighting one side or he's committing crime of war and on massive scale. Now, I would put emotion on the urgency of the things. If Amnesty International, which is from World News Report, stating that, it means that it's already been in the making for quite some time. It means that the world needs to give it extra forcible solution. But you cannot go and just bomb the place. Those people that they are, you know, they're victim. Somebody needs to help there. They need to have people from the ground helping, working hard. You cannot just send people to bomb the place. It's not gonna work like that. I'm gonna pray for that, so we can, you know, find somebody who will come up with the right idea. so glad I don't have to worry about making that decision. God bless whoever makes it. Anyway, we have a lot of things to say, but would you like to hear another song? Let's listen to another song if we can.
Roma Cesimo, aiutami tu. Io non ti dico niente, Roma, ma stasera c'ho bisogno di te. E quando tu te ci metti, ste cose le combini bene. Roma non fa la stupida stasera. Dammi una mano a fare di te sì.
All right, we're back. Roma, don't be stupid tonight, they were singing. Anyway, we have no much time left, so we have one more piece of news to put. But before that, I want to tell you all that more and more foreigners are heading to the Czech Republic to get an operation or to relax in a popular spa. It seems that South Coast Metro, well, in California, they said that on December 8th, they said that the increasing number of foreigners have started arriving in the Czech Republic to undergo planned medical treatment. In the last 3 years alone, the figure has risen by fifth. Foreigners most often come here for neurosurgical procedure, eye operation, transplant, or hip replacement. Chest spa and wellness pampering treatment are also very popular with them. All right, guys, that was my break for the spa, but let's go back to the real life, the news.
The far-right Front National has, according to exit polls, come top in the first round of voting in France's regional elections. The xenophobic anti-EU party won 30.6% of the vote, with the Conservatives trailing on 27% and the governing Socialists down to 22.7%. The FN's in a favourable position in six of the 13 regions for the second round on December the 13th. It came very close to winning two outright, with leader Marine Le Pen scooping 43% in northern France, while her niece Marianne Maréchal Le Pen also broke the 40% barrier in the southeast.
All right. We are back. We just wanted to mention it to you that the far, you know, the right, Marie Le Pen, the French nationalist, won a majority of vote in this round of election in France, is threatening a lot of, you know, peace-loving men kind of people because she's a little extreme to the right. Her father used to be very famous, Le Pen. So you guys maybe remember him from history. I'll try in the next session to get some information about her more deeply. But that's just to touch base and to say to you guys that in 2017 there is a presidential or prime minister election in France, and which will be determined. It will determine what way the French people deciding to go, or in what direction France is going to go, and she has a good chance. Now, it will be reassuring that if it will be like a calm, peaceful situation where everything going to go back to normal, she's going to not win because she's like the gun for extreme measures of the country. And they picked her up immediately. So I don't see it happening in 2017, but you never know. You never know. Anyway, there are so many things happening in the globe. Now, how do you feel? How do you feel about life these days? Are you feel threatened? Are you feel that, you know, the cord is too tight? Or do you feel that you can have what you need to be successful in life? So whatever the answer is, I'll guess that some of the answer will be not really, I'm not sure, I don't know. There are a lot of question marks. So as I say to myself every time again and again, But I remind myself that there is a God and it's not us. Meaning, what does it mean when I say that? It means that you can do your best, but then there is higher authority who decide the rest. Okay, so you pray, you do your best, and God will provide. Now, there are so much misery in the world and so much poverty, and you know that the people going through this, and there is God in the universe, how it's happened. Well, it's the duty of the good people to do their best, that, you know, to have good life and the rest to have good, better life than they can. We are connected in this universe, and we are part of this stream of energy that brings light and bring goodness and health. So let's try to pass along as much possible goodness. So at least around, we can push more and more that there will be a better tomorrow for everybody. And what I definitely think that we need to have a better schooling or better understanding of what's going to take place soon. And sometimes learning the history help us not repeat the mistakes that have been done, because nobody can live that long to make all everybody's else mistakes. Not everybody else. You know, you have the luxury to go through life and actually going through the immense information that is provided by a click of a finger and avoid those miserable mistakes that other people made. Now, trust that if people will actually write about their mistakes, about lesson of their life, that will be a good thing to have. A lesson where you can have an advice from somebody who said, don't do that. It's like, there are women that, there are so many women in the world that suffer for so much, and there are others who can show them the way. I know in America there is a great lady who teach them how to create wealth, because women do have not the understanding. They trust everything in their husband, and when he walks out of the door, there goes all her money too. And most of the women are helpless, they say, but this generation is much better, and the opportunity is not as immense like it used to be. They are different now. We need to create a road to that new opportunity that the world is creating. There are ways, there are new doors that we need to open. We just have to open our, you know, widely our eyes. We need to think in different direction, change the prism. You know, don't settle, don't rest. It will be okay. God will help you, but just push. Try to understand better. Ask the right question. Write it down. Write your task. Make a plan. Prepare yourself. Get ready. Get, you know, shrink your habits to indulgence in, you know, in a different way, in a lesser way, so you can be more flexible. Don't carry on too much load. It will be too big for you to carry on. Just let's keep it going. All right, guys? We're almost there. It's going to be good before we know it. And, you know, couldn't go as bad as it went. All right, this is it. So from now on, let's start kicking, make it through the day. All right. God bless you all. I love you all. I'll talk to you next on Monday. And be good. Be good. And God bless you. Happy Hanukkah, my brother, friends. Jewish people and all the rest that wants to celebrate with us, we welcome. Happy holiday season. God bless you all. Bye-bye.